Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Second to None podcast with Blaine Gilmer here and Tavares King, my co-host. We're a Believe Network podcast and also streaming here on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. So right off the bat, if you don't already and you love all things football and sports related, then hit that subscribe button on the YouTube channel. Go ahead and throw us a like in there. And TK, it's an eventful night with the first CFP committee top 25 rankings having just come out.
Yeah, man, those things came out. I think they're going to make a few people a little bit angry with what's been out, what's out there. But yeah, man, we got us exciting night. Got us some Braves on the TV as well. So we got us some dope stuff to talk about.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, one thing that I think everybody sees, and they talked about it as a trend that was going on during the show, is the head-to-head matters. They were putting, if you beat a team, they were putting you ahead of them, right up above it. So we'll talk about kind of those themes and where we saw. We'll address the entire CFP as a whole here in just a second. But then also, TK, since we do touch on a lot of SEC stuff here, we will – you know, say where those SEC teams are ranked, what the Georgia quarterback situation looks like and maybe will look like going forward. We'll talk some about that and also the battle for the SEC West that is going on later this year. But in terms of the college football playoff, I don't think anybody would have bet. Maybe they would have looked. Maybe they should look this way, but I don't think anybody would have bet that they did look this way. But speaking of betting, TK, if you had put some money on it, you could probably get that bet, you know, those odds and everything over on Bet Online. And we're going to talk about them real quick before we get going here, because Bet Online is back and better than ever. A new interface and website over there for the start of basketball season. Got, you know, the rest of football going up. Game 6 of the World Series tonight, NHL, Vegas casino games, everything you can imagine. So head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo, that's Believe50, BLEAV50, to receive your bonus from basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC. Right to Vegas casino games. Like I said, don't wait to take advantage of all the available deals over the 2021 season. Bet Online, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. So, TK, speaking of where the game starts, you know, these first rankings are kind of where the postseason starts, right? That push for the playoffs, that push for the opportunity to win a national championship. So here are, we're going to put them up in the middle of the screen here, and I'm going to slide over here so I can still be on screen here, TK. But Georgia, Alabama, Michigan State, and Oregon in those top four, with Ohio State and Cincinnati on the outside looking in. We'll touch on the rankings later down on that later, TK, but I want to hear from a player's standpoint, somebody who has played not only in the SEC, but played against, you know, high level competition in different bowl games and things like that. How much does this strength of schedule and the eye test and how these teams are just playing from and their roster makeup, you think, go into the mind of this college football committee?
I think it plays a big part into it. I think strength of schedule plays a lot into it, and I think how you played up until this point goes a lot into it. It's more, it looks more like a power ranking in essence. So I personally think that they got it right, man. Those are the top, in my opinion, the top six teams. Maybe even got that sixth one wrong with Cincinnati, that we've seen them struggle kind of for several weeks, hell, all season almost. But you know, those first four in, I think are pretty solid. Ohio State, you can make an argument for them as well. But you know, the committee, to me, I think got it right. I think that they put the teams that are playing the best, the teams that have played
Distant Sun here doesn't like Alabama, TK. Distant Sun says, just such a joke. Why is Bama number two after losing to A&M, and why is Oregon at four after losing to Stanford? So, TK, what would you say to Distant Sun there?
I think it's about the body of work, man. You got to look at the body of work that they put in over time, not just a hiccup against the Texas A&M team that struggled. Zach Calzada probably played the game of his life that night, as well as those guys blocking up front. So I think they're a power rank. This is a power ranking in essence. So yeah. They're a powerful team. So I think that they belong in that two spot, honestly.
I 100% agree with you. I think, you know, when you have Alabama there, I don't know, maybe two, you know, could be a little bit too high based off of what they did, but I don't think there's any question. Anybody that's looking at it objectively is not going to say Alabama is not one of the best four teams in the country. And I think what they're going off of is there probably some recency bias based off what they've done in 2020 and things like that. Yeah, you've got a bunch of human beings in that room, TK. And also, you and I talked about it earlier, you know, with the additions of Tyrone Willingham back on this CFP college football committee. He was a head coach at Stanford, at Notre Dame, at Washington. Also, they have Will Shields, who was an offensive lineman at Nebraska. They have John Urschel, who was a offensive lineman at Penn State. There are football people in this room, right, where there's been more administrators and things like that in the past. Even you got Kentucky's AD in here, and you know, Kentucky's AD has seen a lot of these SEC teams up close and
he personal, gets it, right? He gets it.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of that, and then also you know, some different the Big Ten I thought got a lot of respect in this poll. Terms of, you had a two loss Minnesota getting ranked in this poll, and some people I may question, you know, the only one I may question is of the AAC not getting any respect. I think Cincinnati got plenty of respect being in the top six. In fact, we think they could even be lower than that based on how they've been playing and the lack of teams they play. And don't throw out Notre Dame, okay? Because Notre Dame barely beat Florida State. Notre Dame barely beat Toledo, and Notre Dame beat a struggling North Carolina team last week. So North Carolina shouldn't even count as a good victory for Cincinnati, in my opinion.
I got to agree with you there.
But TK, how much do you think it matters that there's more of those football type guys in there with the way they're putting head to head, you know, as a kind of a important criteria in this first poll?
I mean, that's huge. I mean, it shows that you've got, one, you've got folks on the committee that watch football week in and week out. Two, you got folks on the committee that understand football. They understand injuries. They understand coaching situations. They understand momentum. So they get it. So again, to that point, I feel like this is more so a power ranking than anything.
Yeah. And you know, we're like I said, we're going to touch specifically on what it means for SEC teams and things of that nature. But overall, as a whole, TK, I think one thing you point out is the Pac-12 got more benefit of the doubt than I thought they would, with Oregon getting in four. I know they beat Ohio State, but the Pac-12 over the last few years, TK, has just been atrocious. But I think they're giving Oregon a lot of benefit of the doubt there. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau is a great, great player, and they're starting to get better over there on the offensive side of the ball as well. Mario Cristobal does a good job. So I think they're being a little bit kind to the Ducks there.
Yeah, they might be being a little bit nice to the Ducks. Our guy, Brian McClendon, Coach B-Max over there, getting them right out there. So shout out to him. But yeah, that 5-4 spot, I feel like those are kind of interchangeable as well. You could put, because Ohio State's, they're playing good football right now. They're playing really, really good football right now.
But I think they did the right thing giving it to Oregon with the head-to-head.
Yeah, I agree with that. But to that point, I think right now, I think Ohio State's probably a little better than them.
Yeah, if they were playing this week, I would pick Ohio State to win the game.
Agreed.
Absolutely. So let's real quick, let's throw those rankings back on the screen real quick. And you can see as far as SEC goes, because we do focus on SEC.
We got seven teams.
Teams here, yeah, seven teams, and then so you see Georgia, obviously at number one, who we're going to talk about the quarterback situation here in a minute, but they have beaten the number 13 team in Auburn and the number 18 team in Kentucky, and I think you really see how much credence they're given to head-to-head, because Mississippi State just took care of business. They have three losses on the year, one to an LSU team, but they just beat Kentucky, and they put Kentucky one below Mississippi State. So I think at least they're staying consistent, TK, and how they're going about doing things.
Yeah, you got to respect that. And to that point, I like that. You know, we showed we're better than you. And yeah, I like that.
Now, in terms of the Texas A&M Aggies, they had probably, in my opinion, have the overall best win in the country, beating Alabama. Okay, mm-hmm. I think that may be the best win, them or Oregon beating Ohio State. That's a battle for the best win. I think that's a big reason why they are, you know, ranked as high as they are, and they have an even more, you know, chance to help themselves out this week when they go when they host Auburn this week, a game that we'll be breaking down later in the week. But Texas A&M has an opportunity to, you know, not to get in the top four, but to climb themselves well up into that top 10 before the season's over with.
Yeah, 100%, bro. We talked about it on a show earlier. If they don't hiccup early in their season, then, I mean, they're sitting in the driver's seat of this thing, Texas A&M. So, I mean, if they don't hiccup early, then they're balling. But this weekend will be huge. Texas A&M Auburn game will be a huge game because we could potentially have a three-way tie in that SEC West over there.
No doubt, because A&M beat Alabama, and if Auburn were to beat A&M they beat Alabama. I think if Auburn were to beat A&M and then beat Alabama, you would end up having a three-way tie over there in the mm-hmm. SEC West. So definitely that would be an interesting scenario over there. But I think you really see, when you look at Texas A&M and you look at Mississippi State, I think you see the respect for Alabama, because TK, in every scenario, head-to-head wins have ranked teams above the other one, except Mississippi State beat Texas A&M the week before they played Alabama, yet they're three spots behind them. But I think A&M and what they've been doing, so I think there's two things that have mattered a lot. It's how teams have been playing recently, okay, mm-hmm. and their head-to-head victories. I think those were the two, you know, separating factors in this first rankings. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely 100% agree with that. I think that how teams are playing right now has a lot to play into where they are, for sure.
Yeah, so speaking of the number one team, we've talked about the Georgia Bulldogs. They've kind of separated themselves with their defensive unit alone just being the best unit in college football, hands down. I mean, they've almost scored as many touchdowns as they've allowed on the year, TK. It's really a remarkable thing. But when you talk about Georgia, I think one thing that everybody wants to talk about is how are the Georgia Bulldogs going to be able to, you know, score with other teams? What's the quarterback situation look like for Georgia going forward once they get against some more elite competition? And TK, you know, you and I have talked about this off air. We've kind of analyzed some of the, you know, areas that Georgia has problems in offensively. What is your take on the Stetson Bennett and JT Daniels situation? I even saw you go to Twitter and start utilizing, trying to get some opinions from some people. So what is your, after all your research and talking to people, what is your opinion right now on this Georgia quarterback situation?
They ain't helped me at all, because they ain't agree with me. Man, I'm rocking steady, man. And here's why, bro. Stetson, nobody's knocking JT Daniels' arm, his arm talent, his quarterback play. Nobody's knocking that. But when you have a coach, teammates, a team that believes in you and really, truly believes in you, is putting the ball in your court, then it's hard to, one, go away from that. But two, in my own opinion, I think he gives us the best opportunity from a run zone option perspective. And just offensively, I think he opens our offense up a lot more, because they have to respect him as a runner. There was things in that Florida game that I saw that I don't think JT Daniels could have done, like escape a pocket and get us 10, 12 yards on a third down to keep the chains moving. So to that point, and I've said it and I'll say it again, in our league, the SEC, you have to be able to run. You got to be able to move. You got to be able to escape the pocket, because on the other side of the ball, there's big hungry guys over there, man. There's big hungry guys ready to come get you. So you got to be able to move, and you got to be able to extend plays downfield. So I think that being said, that Stetson is a guy that does that and has proven he does that really well.
Well, and if Georgia still had Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson at tackles like they did a couple years ago, first round tackles,
then
JT Daniels can be in there all day long because he'll have plenty of time in a pocket, a big pocket. But now Georgia is consistently the way that Florida game, they got beat four or five times by the 3 and 4 man pressures, and Stetson Bennett had to escape, like you said. If JT Daniels is in there for a couple of those plays, the Florida defender puts his face mask right there in his aorta and drives him into the ground. I mean, that's just how it goes, and the play's dead. People want to say that JT can, make throws quicker and has a stronger arm. Well, I told somebody the other day, it's hard to throw the ball if you're on your back.
You got to be able to move and extend plays, bro. And to that point, people were talking about Stetson throwing up those two picks, man. Both of the one pick I'll give him. The first pick should have back shouldered that thing. They were sitting all over the top of that thing. Second one
was a terrible decision.
Yeah, it was a bad decision, but they disguised coverage like really well. They passed it off. I think Murray said he would have threw that ball too. So shoot, man. I in my head, Stetson is the guy because he gives us the best option from a offensive perspective, because he opens our offense up.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the guy, there's no question about who the guy is for Alabama, right? And when you talk about Alabama, Bryce Young, you talk about mobility. What he has done in the last 2 weeks or 2 games that they've played, TK, since they had a bye week this week, he has used his legs more. And I think that it's almost been the Alabama staff trying to convince him to use his legs more. Hey, man, run, you can buy a little time. You've got that ability, because he's always been worried about being labeled a running quarterback. He doesn't want to be known as that. He wants to be known as a guy who can get it done from the pocket. Well, that's all well and good, but Alabama has, needed him to be able to extend plays. How deadly he was on third down in that Tennessee game, TK, that changed that game, because Tennessee had a lot of momentum and they were coming after him, but they couldn't get Alabama off the field on third down when they needed to. And I think that's something that right now it seems inevitable that Alabama and Georgia could play in the SEC West, but hey, there's two teams out there, that still have some things to say about the SEC West going forward, especially Auburn with them at Jordan-Hare Stadium. But, what do you think with the kind of the evolution of Bryce Young right now in this Alabama offense, what does that kind of bring to it?
Man, a huge element. If you've got a guy that can, one, extend plays, and not only extend plays, but beat you on the ground, gaining yards, then that's special, super special. And if you've got that with the explosiveness that they have out wide.
Yeah, Jameson Williams and John Mitchell.
Yeah, Jameson Williams. Yeah. John Minchie, Jameson, that Swiss Army knife they've got there. I mean, when you got guys like that and you're extending plays, I don't think people understand how hard it is to cover a cheetah.
Yeah, a guy that runs a 4.3 40
for 8 seconds. You know what I'm saying? So if you have a guy like Bryce Young that can extend plays, and then shoot one downfield, then it's tough. It's tough to deal with. So yeah, man, no wonder they're asking him to be more mobile, and he has been more mobile, because it's an asset. It's a huge asset for him. And I think it's a big part of his game, whether you want to be labeled that or not, be labeled a winner, my boy.
Yeah. And I think that's what they're trying to convince him to do. And he's getting more comfortable, which, I think speaks to why, they probably got the respect that they've gotten and were at number two in the poll. Now, also down at 13, Auburn is at 13 with Texas A&M right behind them at 14. They play this weekend. Like I said, we'll do a full preview for you guys that will come out on Friday. We'll record on Thursday night and we'll have it on out for you on Friday. But just wanted to talk about Bo Nix for a minute, TK. I made a bold prediction on our last show that Bo Nix was about to enter into the greatest 5-game stretch of his career. And boy, did he start it off that way against Ole Miss, going 22 of 30 for 276 and a touchdown through the air, and eight rushes for 30 yards and two touchdowns on the ground. The man is playing some good football, and your former offensive coordinator and coach Mike Bobo has Bo Nix maturing into quite the quarterback.
Yeah, Coach Bobo is, I mean, he's had some really good ones. He had Murray, he had Matthew Stafford. He's kind of a quarterback savant, bro, and you can see it since being benched.
Bitched and benched, you know.
Bitched, all that. since being benched, man, Bo Nix has freaking, like you said, been playing. He's been a bit different guy, and I think he said it. He's kind of just let his hair down, bro. I'm gonna cut loose and do what I do. But with that cutting loose, I think a lot of that growing up between the ears is taking place from Coach Bobo. I think that he's a guy that can get quarterbacks to do and understand exactly what he wants them to understand, as well as a guy that puts them in positions to make the best plays and make the smartest plays. You see Jarquez and Tank Bigsby making plays, balling, and doing it in creative ways. He's finding creative ways to get the ball. So they're that offense is rolling. I think that they have an opportunity in front of them that's huge. The biggest thing that I'm worried about from an Auburn Tiger perspective, Eagle, whatever y'all are.
Plainsmen, Eagles, Tigers.
Yeah, well, I don't know. The biggest thing I'm worried about, though, is that defense, man. If they can hold up against that Zach Calzada and that Texas A&M offense, so hold those backs. They got backs, too.
Yeah, A-Chain and Spiller. Yeah, I mean, they're really playing right now. A-Chain is world-class speed, of course. And like I said, we're gonna dive into that one on Friday. But, TK, I think one big thing that you saw for Auburn defensively was the return of Owen Papoe. He was out for – he had missed four games. He's a guy from Georgia, played in the high school ranks at Georgia. Georgia wanted Owen Papoe badly, and, you know, he's a tremendous linebacker there, edge guy, you know, as well for – Auburn, and had five tackles, a tackle for a loss in that game, kind of working his way back. But when you have him healthy, when they've got a guy like Roger McCreary, who's going to make him some paper this spring, TK, Roger McCreary's going to be a baller.
He's a baller, bro. We talked about him on the show early. Smart, instinctive.
Lengthy. He's got,
yeah. He's what you want in a corner nowadays.
So when you have – here's what intrigues me about Auburn. If Auburn can carry this momentum and they can go into Texas A&M, which I'm not giving a prediction one way or the other, but if they could beat Texas A&M this week in College Station, do not think that Brian Harsin and Mike Bobo and stuff won't use that to you know, help this team mentally when it comes to Alabama as well, right? Hey, Alabama lost to – A&M in College Station. We just took care of business there, and now we got them coming to our place later in the year.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and that from that perspective, Auburn feels like they're controlling their own, and they are. They're controlling their own destiny right now. Obviously, they'll need a little help. Maybe.
Actually, no, they don't need no help. If they went out, they're in. They're in Atlanta.
Yeah, they don't need no help. They're controlling their own destiny, man. That's a fun place to be. You gotta know that those kids are excited, that staff's excited. So yeah, bro, what more motivation do you need?
Absolutely. So really realistically, there's three teams that could end up in Atlanta facing Georgia. I think it just got harder for Texas A&M because in order for it to happen, there would have to be a three-way tie, and they would have to Texas A&M, I think, would have to beat Auburn, then Auburn beat Alabama, then everybody would have two losses, and then the highest ranked team is the one that goes to the SEC championship. So there is that scenario. Yeah, there is that scenario, and Alabama starting at two in the college football playoff rankings, that already helps them out a lot in that race, because even if they were to lose a game, I don't know how far they would drop. Of course, with the college football rankings now and them, you know, this week having regarded head-to-head so heavily, that's very interesting to see. But, guys, in terms of Auburn, like TK said, they control their own destiny. Georgia has already kind of separated themselves. They beat Auburn 34-10 in Jordan-Hare. So I'm really intrigued, TK. You saw Alabama beat Florida 31-29. Georgia takes care of business 34-7, doesn't even have a great game offensively and does that as well. So I'm just wondering, with this Georgia team, it feels like they have the unit where usually in the last 4 or 5 years, it's been that Alabama offense that has been the unit that separates them from everyone else. It feels like the script has flipped a little bit, and now Georgia has that unit that separates them from every other team in the country in that defense.
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. You got a defense that's constantly got an offense that's backed up. You got a defense that's constantly getting turnovers. You got a defense that's constantly making the offense go in reverse. Then I would have to say so, man. They I think they're giving up 6.6 points a game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's super freakish, bro.
They're eight games in and they've not given up more than 13 points in a single game.
Yeah. That's getting it done, man. That's getting it done, and it's fun to watch, bro. Everybody on that squad is a ball hawk. Everybody on the defensive squad wants to make a play. You watch Nolan Smith just take it out of AR-15's hands. That's real deal heads up football right there. So it was fun to watch. But he's not the only one that plays like that. Adam Anderson.
Yeah,
Adam Anderson plays like that. They all get after it up there, bro. So when you got guys getting after it like that, it's going to lift the play of the defense, lift the play of the team, and you're going to get opportunities on your side of the field because they're not getting on our side of the field. So it's fun. It's a fun thing to do. They help themselves out, and they help the offense out tremendously as well.
No doubt. And as we said it once again, if you're just joining us, the College Football Playoff Committee ranks Georgia number one, Alabama two, and then you don't have another SEC team until you hit Auburn at 13, Texas A&M 14, and then a run of SEC teams with Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Kentucky. TK, I was a little bit surprised by the Kentucky result this week. Having said that, though, we talked about it. Mississippi State with Zach Arnett and Mike Leach are really starting to get the culture of that program. Those guys are starting to buy in. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep Zach Arnett around, honestly, with how good that he's been as the defensive coordinator there for the Bulldogs. Mike Leach and company might have to sell a few extra cowbells or something over there to try to get some money to keep him in. Ring-a-lang-dang-a-lang, as you like to say in our show. But, you know, they impressive win over Kentucky, I thought, because as we mentioned, you know, Kentucky even had their moments where they looked like a good football team when they played Georgia. They were just outmanned at the end of the day, but their offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, did a good job, I think, trying to scheme things up. Mississippi State shut them down, and they turned the ball over, I think, four times. Kentucky did in that game, and that TK, that'll just kill you every time.
Yeah, bro. You know, Kentucky's coach OC was trying to listen to us a little bit. I mean, I saw him getting the ball in his playmaker's hands early, so they were trying to do things differently.
Just turn the ball over.
Yeah, they were just giving it up, so shooting themselves in the foot. But from a Mississippi State perspective, bro, I think the thing that's so impressive about them is that Zach Arnett defense, and we talked about it over and over and over again, and we talked about it over and over and over again because they progressively gotten better and better and better. So to your point, I don't foresee him being there for too long because they gotten better in such a short time. So I think that that defense is special and will be special, you know, moving forward.
No doubt. And the way this is setting up with these rankings, you see Auburn at 13-14, like we said, playing each other. TK, my last observation here before we go watch the Braves in game six is that I think Auburn and Texas A&M, whoever wins that game, has an opportunity with how the Big Ten East is all going to have to play each other here at the end of the year with Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, mm-hmm. and how the Big 12 with Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Baylor are all going to play each other. Those teams could all end up being kind of in a circular firing squad, so to speak, and clip each other off. And whoever wins this Auburn and Texas A&M game has a chance to rattle up, you know, four, five, six spots, maybe find their way into the New Year's Six before things are all said and done.
Yeah, 100%, bro. It's real deal crunch time for a lot of folks right now. Especially those folks that's got those head-to-head losses and wins, or head-to-head and losses. It's true crunch time for them. And for a team like Auburn, man, I'm excited to watch how they handle themselves, handle the rest of this year, knowing that they control, they're in their own driver's seat. They control what happens to them. So it's a, that that's going to be fun to watch. I'm going to go ahead and put a little star by the Auburn Tiger Eagle Plainsman, so I can watch them. But
Absolutely.
yeah, man, yeah, I'm hyped about it. Let's get to it. Let's watch these Braves.
No doubt. So, guys, make sure you subscribe to the channel if you're watching on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. Turn on notifications so you get all the live content. And then find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can follow using @SEC_2_none. You see our on the screen, I'm @BGilmer18, TK @TKUnoDos. So find us, Second to None Podcast. We appreciate everybody tuning in, and tune in on Friday. We'll have an episode releasing for a in-depth preview of Auburn versus Mississippi, or no, Auburn versus who do we say this week? I'm losing.
TAMU.
TAMU. Yeah, Auburn going to Texas A&M. So we will catch you guys on Friday.